Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God be with you and keep you. In Jesus' name, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the world, Lord. It is such grace and such mercy you're showing to the whole world, Lord, what you're doing to protect and to preserve your people. And it's a great sign. A sign as such is not in the pagan world. It's not in the Islamic world. It's not, you know, it's just not out there. But you're showing it here. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just want to share a couple of verses or a few verses just to set things up for you. I'm talking today about the fall of our Babylon that has conquered and ruled over the Christians, and God is bringing it down. He's bringing it down, as we've seen in past teachings. He paralleled it to the fall of Pharaoh at the Red Sea. And quite a few places he compares the fall of Babylon to the fall of Pharaoh at the Red Sea. And we're seeing quite a bit of preparation for, I would say, a finale at the Red Sea. It's pretty amazing. But the Lord is showing things to the world here through this. And I do believe because we're coming to the last 7 years that God really wants to give an example of what he can do. I mean, other countries aren't having such success I can see that God is moving down that road because of the prayers of the saints and to help those that don't generally, there's a very small population of them that believe in God or the Lord, you know. Anyway, I'm going to share a few verses here that we receive in our morning meeting that we all, talked about this fall of the deep state Babylonish system, right? Here's one, Psalm 98, 1 through 9. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath wrought salvation for him. Now, actually, this is happening. You know, it's coming to pass in a political way. And the Lord hath made known his salvation. He has shown that he can save his people when they pray, and whose prayers are being answered. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the nations. He hath remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness towards the house of Israel, which, of course, is a type of the New Testament church. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Remember, you know, what Christians in America were in. They were in captivity to this false state system. It's been degeneratively becoming worse and worse ever since Reagan and all the deep state presidents that we had. So it's gotten worse and worse, and now there's a sudden reversal because so many people cried out to the Lord. Break forth and sing for joy. Yea, sing praises. Sing praises unto the Lord, that the harp, with the harp and with the voice of a melody, with tabrets, the sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the king. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. And of course we know that the ocean's roaring is the pagans, you know, Psalm chapter 2, right? The world and they that dwell therein, and let the floods clap their hands, and let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. We'd like to see equity, wouldn't we? God's people love to see justice sometimes, and they rejoice in justice. We don't have to, you know, rejoice in the fall of the wicked. We'd love to see them get saved, but we rejoice in justice being seen. And it's been a long time since we've seen any of that, so when we do see it, it makes us pretty happy. And here's another one, Psalm 111, 1 through 10. We received all these in our morning meeting, and we knew you know, since what we were concentrating on was this, and this is what came out. Praise ye the Lord. I will give thanks unto the Lord with my whole heart. Amen. We need to thank and give praise to God for what He is doing. And yes, this job will be finished by Cyrus. Down the road, we know trouble is coming, big trouble. And in fact, not very far. We're suggesting that the deep state is going to make a move against mostly Christian right-wing America, and it's going to backfire on them. Okay? Just like it did with Pharaoh. He went to the Red Sea to destroy God's people, and he got destroyed. And I would think martial law, because of a plague coming upon the nation, would be an excellent time to do something with those 40,000 indictments. Wouldn't you? That's what the deep state's been using, kind of a method they've been using for years. I suspect they're going to reap what they sow. Let's see. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the council of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His works is honor and majesty, and His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. Remember how at the Red Sea, the pagan nations that Israel crossed paths with made mention of the wonderful thing that God did to save His people. There was fear in them because of the way God saved His people. And I don't know if you know it or not, but Obama had planned a massacre here, and he was bringing in his troops, and Hillary was supposed to follow up on it. We've got dreams about it even. So you say dreams? Yeah, that's right, dreams. Dreams don't have to come to pass. If you pray, they can come as a warning, and you can pray and see God do wonderful things. He does. And verse 5, He hath given food unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. The covenant includes this, believe it or not. Some people don't believe that, but we'll see. He has showed His people the power of His works. Yes, He's a very powerful God. I mean, everybody else that's tried to do what God is doing through Trump is either dead or set aside, you see. In giving them the heritage of the nations, the works of His hands are truth and justice. All His precepts are sure. They are established forever and ever. They are done in truth and uprightness. Listen, He has sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Well, He called it His redemption. Look here. You remember Luke chapter 1? I'll read it to you. 68 through 75. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for He hath visited and wrought redemption for His people. Now, are we coming to a visitation? Yes, because history is repeating here, you see. The Son of God was in Jesus Christ. The Son of Man was the carrier. And, of course, the same thing we're coming to see is going to happen in our very, very near future. This visitation of the Lord in a way that repeats history, because history always repeats, except on a larger scale, and that's what we're going to see. Wrought redemption for His people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. Once again, it's going to be in the house of His servant David. Not a physical David necessarily, but spiritual Davids, right? And He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets that have been from of old. Salvation from our enemies. There it is. This redemption includes, notice, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Well, there you go. That kind of suits the factions in the church and the faction in the government, right? To show mercy towards our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. Well, there you go. He's he's remembering his covenant, and this is part of his covenant, right? The oath which he sware unto Abraham our father, to grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, there it is again, should serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. So, see, all our days, meaning you can be an overcomer. You can't overcome the curse unless you're overcoming sin, because not everybody's going to escape this. The curse is to warn people away from and chasing people away from sin. So if you're walking in sin, that's rebellion against God's word, don't expect that you'll have this part of the covenant fulfilled to you. Repent first. Walk by faith. See Jesus in the mirror, right? Justification by faith. Amen. So let me give you another one here. Let's see. Okay, here's one, 2 Samuel 22, 31 through 39. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield unto all them that take refuge in him. Wow. Pay attention here, because this is how you get it, you know. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Then he says, thou shalt. Then at that point, that's when the Lord becomes your refuge, right? So he is, Psalm 91, he is a shield unto all them that take refuge in him. Do you confess him as your refuge? For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strong fortress, and he guideth the perfect in his way. He maketh his feet like hinds' feet. In other words, sure-footed, not going to stumble, not going to fall. And setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war. Of course, we are learning very much spiritual warfare against the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Satan, through the deep state, has taken over much of the world, for goodness sake. And, of course, they're making their sacrifices of blood unto Satan, and they're sacrificing the babies, too, and, you know, all kinds of wicked stuff that they all get caught up into. And that, believe it, folks, this is around the world this is happening, you see. But they're getting caught up, too. And that was because of God's people praying. He teacheth my hands to war, so that mine arms do bend a bow of brass. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, and my feet have not slipped. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, neither did I turn again until they were consumed. I have consumed them and smitten them through, so that they cannot arise. Yea, they are fallen under my feet. And, very interesting. Okay, I'm going to go to the next day here, which is today, this morning, we received these words. Here's one of them, Isaiah 2 and 17. It says, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, the haughtiness of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. So the enemies of God's people in the so-called church, they're not really in the church, but because they're not called out, okay, and also in the government. God is dealing with, right? Here's one, Jeremiah 51, 34 through 40. Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me, he hath crushed me, he hath made me an empty vessel. I would say that's pretty much happened. He hath, like a monster, swallowed me up. That's for sure happened. This is what it is to be taken into captivity, right, to this beastly government. And they wonder why people would vote against them, you know, this bunch of criminals. They feel very self-righteous about their crime. like it's their right. And that's true of both the faction in the church and the faction in the government. They're criminals, all of them. They break all of God's laws and men's laws. And we're going to find how that is going to bring both of them down. He hath filled his maw with my delicacies. He hath cast me out. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say. And my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause. I will take vengeance for thee. We can see that he's doing that on both counts, both the wicked in the church and in the government. And take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea and make her fountain dry. And Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment and a hissing without inhabitant. They shall roar together like young lions. They do. Remember, they tried to devour Daniel, right? But failed. The Lord sent his angels and closed the mouth of the lions. They shall growl as lions' whelps, and when they are heated, I will make their feast. I will make them drunken. You know, kind of like the last king of Babylon was drunken in the very night that Cyrus' army came in and took them down. That they may rejoice. Drunken is like in a stupor. This happens to the faction consistently on both sides, government and church. It happens. It's a stupor. It's stupidity. And they hate God and they hate his law. I mean, that's the kind of people that just ended up taking down our sites and our videos. They, when that spirit comes over them, they hate God. They hate his word. And they hate the law and the government. You know, they don't believe in the Constitution. They have a hate for law, a disrespect for government. There's many, many communists among them, and so on. And the Lord is doing a parallel judgment here. We're headed towards a finality, I believe, at the Red Sea. And that's, of course, just before the wilderness. And sleep a perpetual sleep, and shall not awake, says the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with he-goats. Yes, and it's happening. I know you would like to see more physical things happening, but a lot of things are happening behind the scenes. Major things. And that brings us to this verse, Psalms 37, 1 through 6, which we received this morning. It's a psalm of David, and he said, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against them that work unrighteousness. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. Dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of thy heart. Yes, delight yourself in the Lord and come to him with your desires. Share your desires with him. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he will make thy righteousness to go forth as the light, and thy justice as the noonday. Another one, Isaiah 5 and 24. Therefore, as the tongue of fire devoureth the stubble, and as the dry grass sinketh down in the flame, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts, despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Amen. When demons come in, the truth goes out, and the ability to obey and have a conscience goes out with it. And once again today, we got the story of Sennacherib. Remember I told you the other day, we got it. Three different people got it. The story of Sennacherib. And we, at that particular time, we were asking about the religious faction and their hatred and their actions against God and his people. And asked the question. And literally, the person that started it was in the question. Their name was in the question, and the question was asked, and this is what came up. What's going to happen to him? This is what came up right here. This time, Leon got this the other day, but he got it in Isaiah 37, this time in 2 Kings, the same text. So, interesting how the Lord is keeping his word, and he's telling us along the way. Here's another one. Isaiah 26, 11 through 21. Lord, thy hand is lifted up. Do you remember how that God's people were in a war against, I believe it was Amalek at the time, and Moses would lift up his hands and the people would be winning the battle. When he put them down, they'd be losing the battle. And that's what this is talking about. The Lord is lifting up his hand in this battle because we're going to win. You remember Aaron and Hur sat on either side of Moses to hold up his hands because they saw that every time he let his hands down, they'd start losing the battle. So, and it could be a symbol of reaching up to the Lord, you know, calling out on the Lord. And so this one says, the Lord, thy hand is lifted up. Yet they see not. In other words, they don't know. They've lost this battle. But they shall see thy zeal for the people. Listen, the whole world's going to see that on a governmental basis. And the church world's going to see it on a local basis. We're going to see it. The zeal for thy people. And be put to shame. The enemies of God's people who claim to be Christian but don't obey his word. And have no shame when God opens their understanding, you know, like the man who was feeding the pigs, right? He came to himself. Yes, he understood what was actually going on, and he was ashamed to go back to his father, right? And that's what's going to happen through this, is they're going to be ashamed. Yea, fire shall devour thine adversaries. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. Yes, indeed. For thou hast also wrought all of our works for us. O Lord, our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead. The other lords would be this criminal government conspiracy against God's people and the criminal, I would say, deep state church actions against God's people and against God's word. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not arise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them. So this is a visitation that's coming. It's going to destroy what we call the faction. It's going to destroy it, both political and spiritual. And made all remembrance of them to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. He certainly has done that, hadn't he? Thou hast enlarged all the borders of the land. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. That's generally why a lot of people turn to the Lord, you know. They're in the midst of great turmoil, tribulation, persecution, whatever, you know. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery. Yes, that is true. The woman is in pain. The pain is that righteous fruit of Christ in the midst, that man-child being born to the church. That's bringing pain to the church. And crieth out in her pain, so that we have been before thee, O Lord. So we have been before thee, O Lord. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Yes, the church as a whole has failed. Everybody has failed to bring about their vision of what God wants in the earth. But he's not going to fail. And that's why people have to kind of come to the end of themselves and willing to give up their life to the Lord and their vision and their expectations to the Lord. It's a crucifixion of self-will. Thy dead shall live, my dead body shall arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast forth the dead. Well, that could be the dry bones revelation, you know, how that they people who were dead in their sins received life from the breath of God, the Spirit of God, and rose up a mighty army. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. This is kind of a Passover situation. There's a big plague a-coming. You need to have a Passover. And shut the doors, thy doors about thee, and hide thyself for a little moment. That's what they did at the Passover. Until the indignation be overpassed. There it is, Passover. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. You know, there's a reason why people don't cover a lot of slain people. It's because it could be because of a plague, right? We've talked about that before. Remain. Let's see. We have to remain under the Passover, which is what? It's the crucifixion of the Lamb, which we're seeing, right? And the deliverance of the people and the destruction of the faction. All of those happened at the Passover. So, it's on its way. It's on its way. We're seeing a lot of preparations being made. Some people are complaining and moaning and groaning. Nothing's ever going to happen because nothing has happened. Well, that's not quite true. There's a lot happening. And it's all in preparation, like I said, for something very, very final. I mean, they had their fights with Pharaoh, you know, and the judgments that fell upon the people, and then ultimately God separated the people and they fell upon Pharaoh and his people. And their attack against God's people, seeking to destroy them at the Red Sea, I am totally convinced they're about to do this, to seek to destroy God's people. And of course, things will be turned around. Things will be reversed. Just as it was in Babylon, when the king of Babylon was partying and drinking out of the vessels of God. And that very night, Cyrus's army came through the gates. Amen. Under the outside gates and through the gates on either bank of the river. So they entered in. Ain't God good? He's not forgotten, folks. Just be patient. Keep on believing. Keep on confessing. Keep on sending forth the angels to do this job. It's going to be fulfilled. All types and shadows are being fulfilled. I want to share just a couple of little articles with you here. Kind of maybe let you see that some of this is happening. Some of you probably, I'm sure, keep up with all this stuff. I haven't been recently, but there's a lot of people that are out there that listen that don't even, they're not even on internet. So QAnon links U.S. attorney with thousands of sealed indictments decimating the deep state. Yep, and this was on exopolitics.org. And there's a list above, just above the title here: Comey, Stroh, Page, Baker, Rybicki, McCobb, and on and on. So, in a July 1st post, QAnon, which is not an individual, it's a group of people that actually worked to put Trump in there to do exactly what he's doing. And so QAnon referred to the latest count of over 40,000 sealed indictments. That's unheard of. That's nuts, but doing a little bit of a search, it seems like it is true. And, you know, they've been preparing Gitmo and I think even another couple of places to bring these people for military tribunal justice because there's just way too many of them. And also, the courts in America are way too crooked to be able to do it. So I think it's very interesting that this is happening. Just a miracle, really. That this right here could represent not only these people, but you know, they don't ever take anybody down that is in criminal conspiracies that they don't run out the leads and take a lot more people down. So, sealed indictments, they're going to be unsealed, and then we'll know more about them. We do know that some of the very top leaders of the supposedly ex-government are among them. Filed in the U.S. federal district criminal courts since October the 30th, 2017. 40,000. And linked these to prosecutions being led by the U.S. Attorney for Utah, John Huber. Attorney General Jeff Sessions appointed Huber back on November the 13th, 2017. To work with the Department of Justice's Inspector General Michael Horowitz in investigating a wide range of criminal and civil law violations by government employees brought up by Republican lawmakers. Let me say, I've looked at the list somewhat, and there's a lot of Republicans that are indicted too. Democrats and Republicans that are indicted too, which is really what we need. We need to clean the whole swamp because the only reason that these people are in, they're rhinos, right? Republican in name only. They're there to pollute the power of the more conservative government Republican movement. So they need to go too. A wide range of criminal and civil law violations by government employees. If QAnon's claim is shown to be accurate, then he has been pretty accurate. They have been pretty accurate. They have inside track and to a lot of intelligence. Then such a large number of secret indictments will have the effect of removing corrupt federal officials, which will decimate the deep state and its power over the U.S. political and financial system. Now, some people say, oh no, this is wrong, this is too rosy, so on and so forth, and I don't think so. I do say this, it's not going to be won without a fight. They are going to strike back. I feel fairly sure of that. I believe that the plague is at least going to be part of it. Also, the earthquakes, they have moved to, I think they know that this planet is coming through. They know that there's going to be an earth tide, and they want to direct that in the direction they want to do it, and I believe because of our dreams that they have prepared to magnify the problem. So there's other things involved. See, and Young girl, this young Russian girl, who has studied the Bolshevik Revolution and how that they did a blood sacrifice of the government and destroyed those people. The Tsar and his whole family, except for one person, was ritually sacrificed by these people, because that's the deep state. That's who they've been from the beginning. They're Satanists. And think about the Satanist people that have taken over the world. You know, Marx, Lenin, on and on. And these people always kill a lot of people. They always do. So, and now we've got them here, and they don't mind killing people. That's obvious. The effect of removing corrupt federal officials, which will decimate the deep state and its power over the U.S. political and financial system. It's worth beginning this examination by noting that the military intelligence group QAnon has just been included in a Time magazine listing of the 25 most influential people on the internet. Yes, it's true, but like he says, it's a military intelligence group. That's what it is. While there have been an increasing number of mainstream news articles debunking QAnon, the worldwide interest in QAnon's posts has been rapidly increasing due to mounting evidence that President Trump's White House is secretly behind the disclosures. I believe it. I believe it. Debunking, that's something they always do. They debunk the truth anytime they can. You know, and the men have been fairly right in what they're saying. But we may find out even more down the road. Just as the deep state, let me say this. We call these demons, these satanically ruled demons in the faction, in the church, stupid spirits, because they make people so stupid. They break laws like nobody is looking, like it'll never happen to them. They always have that opinion, and they're very self-righteous when it does happen to them, and it will happen to them. So it's the stupid spirits, and knowing that the same thing in the government. They can't imagine that they lost the election. Well, because they had plans on cheating and it failed as God's people prayed, they can't imagine that they lost. So they were so sure that they were going to go in there. And every faction in the church has been the same way. They are so sure that they're going to be victorious over God and his people. Not going to happen. Just as the deep state has been using the mainstream media to leak classified information that is damaging to the Trump White House, Trump is doing the same through QAnon in order to expose the deep state. Yep, he doesn't have to get into an open battle with the deep state. Well, he does every once in a while, but he doesn't have to because he's got people doing it for him, and that's the way it ought to be handled. Therefore, the QAnon information represents a visible sign of a clandestine information war being conducted by the Trump administration and the deep state to gain public support for competing agendas. In the July 1st post, QAnon asks, who is filing all the sealed indictments, and points to an article published by Breitbart News, which has often been cited for close analysis by those following QAnon's disclosures. And here's the note. Ask yourself, who is filing the indictments? It would take a very large team to work this quickly. Who has that kind of manpower? And Breitbart, of course, wrote a whole article on that, which I'm not going to go to right now. Goes on to say, QAnon mentions the number 470 right after posing the question, who is filing the indictments and who has that kind of manpower? Well, for an answer, QAnon steers us to the Breitbart article, which refers to a March 29, 2018 letter written by Attorney General Sessions to the chairman of three congressional committees, which refers to 470 investigators that make up the staff of the Office of the Inspector General. Yes, they're doing quite a job. I mean, no doubt that all of these 470 people have a team of people working under them. But at any rate, the letter explains the power and authority of the Office of Inspector and how these pertain to Department of Justice employees. Congress created the Department's Office of the Inspector General explicitly for the purpose of, among other things, investigating alleged violations of criminal and civil laws by department employees, including actions taken by former employees after they have left government service. The Inspector General's jurisdiction extends not only to allegations of legal violations, but also to allegations that department employees violated established policies as well. To carry out these duties, Title V of the United States Code provides the Inspector General with broad discretion and significant investigative powers. The office currently employs approximately 470 staff, in a significant number of whom are lawyers, auditors, and investigators who may exercise wide discretion on matters under their jurisdiction. It's kind of like, well, the FBI is kind of like that. They're a lot of lawyers. They hire a lot of lawyers. And it's very interesting. If the Inspector General finds evidence of criminal wrongdoing, he may refer it to a United States attorney who can then convene a general jury or take other appropriate actions. To be clear, the Inspector General has the authority to investigate allegations of wrongdoing, collect evidence through subpoena, and develop cases for presentation to the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General for prosecution or other action. It's worth emphasizing that both current and former Department of Justice employees can be investigated by the Inspector General, who has the authority to refer findings for possible prosecution by a U.S. attorney. The Department of Justice employs over 113,000 employees. That's the 2012 figures, which, when combined with former employees, makes an enormous number of people that can be investigated for wrongdoing on behalf of the deep state. This is where the appointment of Huber to work directly with Horowitz's office in investigating issues raised by congressional lawmakers was very significant. The Breitbart article cited by QAnon explains why. Professor Jonathan Turley, a top national legal expert on government investigations, commented on Thursday about Attorney General Jeff Sessions' decisions to bring in the U.S. Attorney John Huber. Turley called it brilliant to combine all the powers of the U.S. Department of Justice's Inspector General with a prosecutor who can bring charges, seek indictments, and get results for President Trump far more quickly than a second special counsel. Pretty interesting. Some things happening that we've never seen in our lifetimes, although it was always a possibility. The Breitbart article continued to elaborate upon how Huber's prosecutorial powers combines well with the Inspector General's investigative power. As a U.S. attorney, Huber has full authority to impanel a grand jury and to file criminal charges. A grand jury can be impaneled anywhere, which means that it could be a group of citizens from deep red Utah in the heart of Trump country instead of the D.C. swamp that decides whether to hand down indictments for felony prosecution. And haven't done a very good job, right? They've made sure that they didn't prosecute Hillary and that whole gang of thieves there. It's vital to understand that in Sessions' letter to Congress, he said that Huber would be leading a prosecutorial team that would include other senior prosecutors. Yes, let me say this, I'll just make this little note here. You know, there's a lot of questions out there about Sessions. He's been busy. He's been busy. And you've noticed that Trump, kind of bad-mouthed him there at the beginning. Could have been to save his life, who knows. But he's been busy. He's been busy. And I think we're going to find he's done a lot. Okay. It's vital to understand that in Sessions' letter to Congress, he said that Huber would be leading a prosecutorial team that would include other senior prosecutors. As noted in Assistant Attorney General Stephen E. Boyd's November 13, 2017 letter to the House Committee on the Judiciary, I already have directed senior federal prosecutors to evaluate certain issues previously raised by the committee. In that letter, Mr. Boyd stated, these senior prosecutors will report directly to the Attorney General and the Deputy Attorney General as appropriate, and will make recommendations as to whether any matters not currently under investigation should be opened, whether any matters currently under investigation require further resources, or whether any matters merit the appointment of a special counsel. This is better than a special counsel, you know, from what I've read, this direction of going is better. Specifically, I asked the United States Attorney John W. Huber to lead this effort. In understanding the link between the alleged 40,000 sealed indictments and the appointment of Huber to work with the Office of Inspector General, it's worth emphasizing the November 13th starting date for Huber and the rapid rise of sealed indictments since October 31st, 2017. Yes, they've gone out of sight. I'm looking at a list of them right here. From 10/30/17 through 6/30/18. When examining the list of states where the sealed indictments have been filed, it's clear that these are distributed all over the United States, thereby suggesting that Huber's team comprises prosecutors drawn from many, if not all, 50 states. It is a large group of people. Very interesting. And who'd have thunk it? Well, this is a large job. And obviously God has anointed them to organize to get this job done. So I'm passing up the large list here. If the linkage posted by QAnon is accurate, then it can be assumed that many, if not the majority, of the sealed indictments are occurring as a result of the collaboration between Huber and the Office of Inspector General all over the country, wherever crimes were committed. Essentially, Horowitz's staff does the bulk of the investigation, while the prosecution and convening of a grand jury is left to Huber's team. As Professor Turley pointed out, back in March, a grand jury can be impaneled anywhere by Huber. In another July 1st post, QAnon says that this is exactly what has happened by asking the following rhetorical question. Ask yourself, does Huber have the ability to file across all 50 states? Is any of this normal? Think sealed indictments. Think resignations of CEOs. Think resignations of senators. All of this has been happening. Think resignations of Congress. Think termination of senior FBI. Think termination of senior DOJ. Media blackout. Yeah, think all those things. Okay. You know, this, if this wasn't this well organized, you'd have another JFK assassination. It would have spread too far to bring the thing down by bringing down the president or his family. No doubt they're trying. We've already seen a couple of efforts, and they failed because God Almighty is God Almighty. He can do what he wants, and he will do it. Reading on, it says, if QAnon is correct, then the sealed indictments initiated by Hoover's team of prosecutors with the support of the Office of Inspector General have been the catalyst for many powerful corporate figures, members of Congress, and Department of Justice officials mysteriously resigning. Yes, this is the behind the scenes. You're not hearing about this, but this is what's doing this. And thank God. The swamp is being drained in that way. We'll find out more when they unseal the indictments and start running people down to Gitmo. Right? QAnon has referred to lists of corporate, congressional, and FBI figures who have resigned or been sacked. QAnon is telling us that these resignations, sackings, are due to the sealed indictments that have been issued against former Department of Justice officials by Uber. Indeed, when one reviews the lists, this is powerful circumstantial evidence that the sealed indictments have been issued and are forcing these resignations and thereby undermining the power of the deep state who used these officials. Yes, true. The following is a list of retiring congressional representatives who, while not Department of Justice officials and thereby outside the investigatory purview of the Office of the Inspector General, presumably decided to retire in anticipation of the scandal about to emerge with the unsealing of the indictments where they have been implicated in some way. Well, I can't read this to you. It's fairly large, but... And there's Republicans in there, just like Democrats. And no doubt they may be saving a lot of the Democrats for last. And the following is a list of FBI officials forced to resign or who have been sacked due to them being investigated by the Office of Inspector General and the sealed indictments issued by grand juries impaneled by Hoover. And there's another list, okay? A fairly long list, okay? All this behooves us to ask whether what QAnon is telling us is possible. To find an answer, we can begin with the website of the offices of the United States attorneys, which explains the duty of grand juries only investigating criminal offenses in districts where they occurred. So evidently, they've got a lot of help around the United States. Okay. The special grand jury has a duty under 18 U.S.C. and 332/A to inquire into offenses against the criminal laws of the United States alleged to have been committed within that district. This means that Uber could begin the prosecution process with the help of the 470 investigators from the Office of Inspector General who would gather the facts and evidence. And Uber would then use senior prosecutors from his team to impanel grand juries in the districts where the offices occurred. Who could do this but God, right? It's as badly criminal infested as we were. Who could do this? Significantly, all Huber and his team would have to do to secure a sealed indictment is to present key facts along with supporting evidence that a crime had been committed in a particular jurisdiction. And as the following summary of sealed indictment law clarifies, in order to issue an indictment, the grand jury doesn't make a determination of guilt, but only of the probability that a crime was committed, and that the accused person did it, and that he, she should be tried. And again, I want to say, every time you drag somebody like this into the legal system, they start opening up other avenues for people to prosecute, right? District attorneys do not present a full case to the grand jury, but often only introduce key facts sufficient to show the probability that the accused committed a crime. And that's enough to put them in Gitmo and until the finish of their sentence or wherever other places they've gathered, I don't know. The next question that arises is how many sealed indictments have been issued by Huber and his team? QAnon referred to the June 30 estimate of over 40,000 sealed indictments since October the 31st, 2017. Could Huber's team of senior prosecutors and the 470 staff in the Office of Inspector General be responsible for so many sealed indictments over the last 8 months? Well, we'll find out, won't we? For an answer, it's important to point out that claims of up to 40,000 sealed judicial cases, which is well above the average of past years, are basically correct. This is acknowledged even by critics seeking to debunk QAnon's information, as exemplified by Mike Rothschild writing for the Daily Dot back on April 12, 2018. While Rothschild's article critiques the claim of 25,000 sealed indictments asserted by QAnon supporters back in April of 2018, it's helpful since it demonstrates that even critics acknowledge that PACER records do substantiate such large numbers of sealed cases. Okay. So then what about the massive number of sealed cases found files in PACER? The QAnon researchers aren't making them up. A random sampling of PACER records from the District Courts of Washington, D.C. and Eastern District of Virginia show the number to be more or less accurate. In distinguishing between sealed cases and sealed indictments, Rothschild points out that the former may involve, that's sealed cases, may involve mundane legal secrecy requirements involving search warrants, phone tapping, witness protection, prosecuting juvenile cases, etc., ordered by a judge. In contrast, a sealed indictment involves a grand jury that has been impaneled, heard some of the facts and evidence, and brought before it and issued an indictment that is covered by strict secrecy requirements in order for arrests to be made without the target being warned in advance. Yes. No doubt they'll have to call out the military to do this. You know. In Rothschild's critique, he referred to the 1077 sealed cases that occurred in 2006, a typical year for sealed cases. That was analyzed in an October 23, 2009 report by the Federal Judicial Center. He points out that QAnon researchers conflated sealed cases with sealed indictments. So the conspiracy theorists number of sealed felony indictments in a normal year would seem to be right, except reading on in the report makes it clear that many of those sealed criminal cases were not indictments. In fact, the report only lists 284 out of 1,077 cases as sealed indictments that the writers were able to obtain no information on. Essentially, the number of QAnon is using is factually correct, but leaves out vital context that explains that relatively few of the 1,077 are actual criminal indictments. Most are routine court matters. So, if only roughly 26% of the sealed cases covered by PACER records in 2006 involved sealed indictments, then we have a means of estimating how many sealed cases from 2017 and 2018 PACER records involve sealed indictments. At the very least, applying the 26% figure to the over 40,000 PACER records showing current sealed cases, then we can estimate that there are at the very least 10,000 secret indictments secretly in play. That's a lot. The actual figure may be much higher due to 2017-2018 having an inordinately large number of sealed cases due to some extraordinary judicial process at play. Sessions' March 29th letter to Congress is evidence that the unusual judicial process, which has so inflated the number of sealed cases for 2017 and 18, involves indictments initiated by Hoover and his prosecutorial team, supported by 470 investigators from the Office of Inspector General. In conclusion, a critical examination of PACER records, Attorney General Sessions' March 29th letter to Congress, together with the lists of retiring sacked members of Congress, corporate executives, and FBI officials, provides compelling support for QAnon's claim that tens of thousands of secret indictments have been issued against corrupt officials controlled by the deep state. That's got to be crippling. As these corrupt officials are removed from their influential positions, the deep state's power is decimated, thereby opening the door for truth to be disclosed on a great number of issues previously suppressed by the deep state. Yes, I mean, they can't kill everybody, right? They can't kill everybody. Okay, so a lot of this prosecution and things could be due to this. I want to share with you. This is an article by The Verge. It's called "Donald Trump is About to Control the Most Powerful Surveillance Machine in History." And this was on November the 14th, 2016. And this is very interesting. The rules have been changed with the criminal presidents that have been in there for the deep state in the last many years. They gave themselves quite a bit of power, never realizing that they were going to turn over this power to a guy that's the opposite of them. And he's evidently taking a lot of freedom at this time. I'm not saying that the freedom of, for instance, the NSA to surveil everything is a good thing, but it's good right now. And afterwards, it may be bad again, but it's good right now. you set a precedent, you know, so there is a drawback to this situation. And this isn't particularly glowing of Trump here, although to me it is, but this person is kind of sitting on the other side. But they're admitting a lot, and that's what I want to share with you. And this is Russell Brandom. And this is The Verge. The U.S. intelligence agencies, among the most powerful forces to ever exist, capable of ingesting and retaining entire nations' worth of data, or raining down missiles on targets thousands of miles away as of January the 20th, all that power will be directly answerable to Donald Trump. It's still early, but a picture is starting to emerge of how the president-elect could use those powers. And, of course, a lot more is known now. It's not a pretty sight. For them, it's not a pretty sight. But for us, it is a pretty sight. So just take that into account as I read this. Since the September 11th attacks, the U.S. government gives the president almost unlimited discretion in matters of national security. That was their plan with the September 11th attack, is to get people to back off of their worries about security in order to give more power to the government. Okay. So, with few limitations or mechanisms for oversight, yep, they created the very thing that's going to come back to bite them. Okay. That includes NSA surveillance, as well as expanding powers of the drone program. And from what Trump has said on the campaign trail, his targets for using these powers may cut against some of America's most important civil rights. The crown jewel of that system is the NSA, and there's reason to think it will grow even more secretive and voracious in the Trump administration. Trump's current transition team includes two of NSA's foremost defenders, Representative Devin Nunes, Republican of California, and former Congressman Mike Rogers, a move that suggests the agency will be moving towards more invasive collection and less transparency than ever before. However, let me say, it's in the hands of more honest people now, and they're not interested in taking down the Christian population. They're not interested in taking down the right-wing population. So you can see that what he's decrying here is something very good for now. For now. To a large degree, those changes can be carried out completely in secret without authorization from Congress. That would be a war. It would take many, many years, but they did this to themselves. Without authorization from Congress or even the FISA court, the majority of the NSA's operations are authorized under a little-known presidential mandate called Executive Order 12333, which authorizes collection of data inside and outside U.S. borders for national security purposes because it is an executive order rather than a law. It can be challenged in court or overturned by Congress, and it places almost no limits on what the NSA can collect. Okay, give me just a second here. We'll come back to this. I want to look down here at the bottom just for a minute. Okay, it looks like I'm all right here. Executive Order 12333 contains nothing to prevent the NSA from collecting and storing all such communications, content as well as metadata, provided that such collection occurs outside the United States in the course of a lawful foreign intelligence investigation. A former State Department section chief wrote in 2014, explaining the importance of the order. No warrant or court approval is required, and such collection never need be reported to Congress. None of the reforms that Obama announced earlier this year will affect such collection. Actually, Obama, I believe, thought that they were going to retain the government, and they even loosened the restraints. He shot himself in the foot quite a few times like that. We don't know how thoroughly the NSA has exploited that authorization in the past, but EO12333 will give Trump a clear path to push the authorization even further. More importantly, because of the secrecy shrouding even the most routine NSA policies, we might not have any idea when a change in policy is made. It's very much within the authority of the president to make changes there, says the Brennan Center's Elizabeth Guyton, who directs the center's Liberty and National Security Program. There could be a significant expansion of those activities without the public having any knowledge of it, and I believe that they have information on everybody. They have the phone calls. They have everything on everybody, and all they got to do is do a search and bring it up. And that's why I believe a lot of these indictments are coming up. And I'll just quote him here. It says, there could be a significant expansion of those activities without the public having any knowledge of it. And basically, that seems to be what's happening. Secrecy is crucial because it enables more invasive and disruptive forms of surveillance, according to University of Washington professor Ryan Callow, who has written extensively on the topic. As long as surveillance programs are secret, it's nearly impossible to hold them in check. And of course, this is enabling them to move with speed. I know people think they're going extremely slow, but this is a lot of criminality. And they're moving very fast, and the lack of limits on them is what's doing this. The very thing that the criminals used, now the quote, good guys are using. And without a, it's kind of reaping what you sow, right? And without a steady stream of whistleblowers, any new programs are likely to stay secret. As Kello told The Verge, it's very difficult for the public to resist surveillance that they don't know about. And it's important that the deep state not know exactly what's going on. This is me saying this. Because they have ability to kill an awful lot of people. So that blank check is particularly troubling given the views Trump expressed on the campaign trail at a rally last November. He stated explicitly, I want surveillance of certain mosques, a view he maintained in later speeches. Oh, I'm for that, yeah. Trump also stated that he would take similar measures towards the Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, he's talking against all this, but something needs to be done. These criminals are running loose and seemingly with impunity. Calling the group a threat? Yes, they are. And saying, at a minimum, we're going to have to be watching. Yes. There's also concern about Trump's penchant for personal feuds seen on the campaign trail against the Khan family and Alicia Macedo. This is a person who does not suffer criticism particularly well and holds grudges against political enemies. Guyton says one of the things we saw when we had unfettered intelligence agencies in the past, like J. Edgar Hoover's FBI, was surveillance and harassment of political enemies. And I certainly think that's something we need to be on the lookout for. Yes, they will have to be on the lookout for that. Beyond surveillance, the Trump administration will also inherit unprecedented powers to unilaterally kill suspected terrorists. Since the drone programs began, U.S. drone strikes have killed as many as 5,000 people, including at least one U.S. citizen, and none of those powers have been meaningfully weakened under the Obama administration. There's an involved chain of command when those strikes are made through the Joint Special Operations Command. But the CIA operates a separate drone strike program that's far more malleable, and the ACLU had urged Obama to curtail those powers before leaving office, but he declined to do so. He declined to do a lot of things that turned around to really bite them. The result, two ACLU lawyers wrote early this year, is that whoever prevails in November will inherit a sweeping power to use lethal force against suspected terrorists and militants, including Americans. Combined with Trump's outspoken enthusiasm for torture and targeting terrorist families, the results could go beyond many of the most barbaric elements of the Bush-era war on terror. Trump's first hurdle in carrying out that agenda may be simple workforce issues. A report last week in the Washington Post found a significant opposition to Trump in the intelligence community, stoked by the president-elect's refusal to accept the Director of National Intelligence's conclusion that the Russian government was responsible for the theft and leaking of emails from the DNC. Because of that bad blood, insiders predict a significant backlash in the incoming president's scrapped the previous administration's rules on drone strikes or attempted to restart the CIA's torture program. The Daily Beast found similar unrest at the Pentagon as old guard officials anticipated being replaced by a younger generation, still with the power to promote and dismiss leaders at will. It's difficult to say whether staff unrest will end up being more than a speed bump for Trump's ambitions.
It's true.
Yep. They're cleaning out their, draining the swamp. There's also a Congress still controlled by Republicans that arguably contain as many surveillance opponents as ever. And I think relationship between the Trump administration and the Republicans will be interesting, says Kello. A congressman like Justin Amash is going to be just as vehement about the need for citizen privacy as he was under Obama. Still, it seems unlikely that those efforts will be more effective under Trump than they were under Obama. In some ways, the problem is larger than ever. Larger than even Trump himself. These presidential powers are still new, and Obama is the only president to enter office with them already in place. For scholars like Guyton, that sweeping power is a real issue. Before 9/11, the law required suspicion of criminal or terrorist activity before we could conduct surveillance, and that's no longer the case, she says. Which will enable Trump to go faster in rounding up the hoodlums, right? We have taken some pretty dramatic steps to expand executive power, and I'd say no matter who had won the election, we've reached a point where we really need to rethink whether that is in our best interest. I do believe that that needs to be reconsidered because of what's coming down the road, but I have to say that right now it seems to be working for us. But that's always the issue, you know. What the Obama administration did worked for them, and a lot of what Trump is doing, he inherited this freedom. And, well, we could have somebody bad in there next, right? Well, I don't think so. I think Trump may very well go back in office and still continue to do some good. It's a point that was echoed by none other than Edward Snowden, who responded to Trump's electoral win in a live stream on Thursday. An occasional critic of Hillary Clinton, Snowden struck a tone of hope and resilience, putting the election in the context of troubling new surveillance laws in Russia and China. Something we need to remember that is that we are never further than a single election away from a change in government, a change in policy, a change in the way the powers in our system are used, he said from an undisclosed location in Russia. What we need to start thinking about now is not how do we defend against a President Donald Trump, he continued, but how do we defend everyone everywhere. Here's a correction. A previous version of this article referred to Professor Ryan Kalmo's parent institution as the University of Wisconsin. It is the University of Washington. Okay. Another interesting article. Okay, and this one is very interesting too. Before I run out of time, I would like to share this one with you. It is, what does it mean? And it's July the 17th, 2018. And the title is Deep State Rallies Behind Now Exposed Russian Spy John Brennan, with call for U.S. military to overthrow Trump. Well, there's something to pray about, folks. Do you think it's going to happen? I don't think so. And we just need to pray. Keep on praying. Keep on believing God, you know. We'll see how far this will carry us, right? And this is by Sorcia Fall, and is reported to her Western subscribers. An interesting new Ministry of Foreign Affairs, that's MAFA, report circulating in the Kremlin today says that within mere minutes of President Putin placing into the hands of President Trump the Foreign Intelligence Service, that's SVR, documentation proving that former CIA Director John Brennan was a longtime covert agent of Soviet Russian intelligence services. Now, I know that this has come out in the last few days, but I thought their article was very interesting. This is a man who has been screaming as loud as he could for the deep state against any Trump initiative, including his being on the side of the Russians. I, for one, am very thankful that they're seeking to have peace between the two. These people tried already several times to get us in a war which would kill an awful lot of young people and old people. So it's crazy. It's totally nuts that these people are so devoid of any kind of conscience that they could try to start a nuclear war. But that's exactly what they're trying to do. And let's pray that the American people stand up very loudly against this. Obviously, let me say, I believe that Putin has gone down somewhat of the same road that Trump has gone as far as coming against the deep state, and is somewhat more vocal in his religious thought about Christianity being against the radical Islam, and they've done an awful lot to wipe out radical Islam. So seeing these two men sit at the same table to me is a win-win situation for anybody that's got a conscience and doesn't want a war to wipe out millions and millions of people. So he placed in the hand of President Trump this intelligence document pointing out who John Brennan actually is. A longtime covert agent of Soviet Russian intelligence services, with his also being the criminal mastermind behind the Trump-Russia collusion charade. This Soviet dupe exploded with rage across the entire deep state media spectrum yesterday, violently declaring that Trump meeting with Putin was nothing short of treasonous and rises to and exceeds the threshold of high crimes and misdemeanor. And then the next day we find this out. Now, who is treasonous? This is a common thing with the deep state criminals and the religious criminals, the faction on both sides. A common thing is this hypocrisy that they're doing exactly what they're accusing others of. And who was quickly joined in this outrage spectacle by Democratic Party U.S. Congressman Steve Cohen, who openly called for a coup against Trump by his declaring, "Where are our military folks? The commander-in-chief is in the hands of our enemy." This is their craziness that they've got, those demons possessing them. And here's from the joint press conference. "A productive dialogue is not only good for the United States and good for Russia, but it is good for the world." President Donald J. Trump, Helsinki, 2018. And they have a note under there. "Dastardly villains, President Donald Trump and President Vladimir Putin, treasonously, openly conspire to bring peace to the world." Yeah, true. "And according to this report, far from being a nefarious enterprise that will lead the entire world towards the apocalypse that the U.S. mainstream propaganda media is trying to make it out to be, yesterday's, well, let me say, there is something coming like that. It's the second Trump. It's right after the first Trump of the man-child ministry. Whether it's this war that we're talking about that they're trying to promote between Russia and the United States, I don't know. But it's to take peace from the earth. Whatever it is will take peace from the earth. And there is a chastening coming on mankind. Give mankind a good reason to listen to the revival that's already started by the man-child at that time." Yeah. "Instead, it has been accurately characterized by former top Reagan administration official David Stockman, who called this historic event a glorious blow for peace, and rightfully stated, "With the warfare state desperately needing an enemy to justify its $800 billion annual mugging of American taxpayers, this summit was the single greatest blow to the war party since it turned Imperial Washington into a colossal menace bent on global hegemony when the Soviet Union slithered off the pages of history in 1991. That's a good statement. "Not being told to the American people about their deep state war party, controlled Imperial Washington, quote unquote, this report notes, is that it single-handedly doomed Hillary Clinton's chances for becoming president. And as exhaustively detailed, referenced, and documented by American political scientists Douglas Kreiner and Francis Shin in their scientific paper titled Battlefield Casualties and Ballot Box Defeat, Did the Bush-Obama Wars Cost Clinton the White House?" I hope so. I hope a lot of people turn against war. It's always criminal. It always feeds money into the hands of the deep state and their shadow government. And wherein they stunningly show how a desperately war-weary U.S. citizenry gets tired of their sons, daughters, brothers and sisters, and fathers and mothers coming home to a heartland of their country maimed by and in body bags. Maimed and in body bags. With these U.S. citizens first throwing Bush's Republican Party out of power, then they're turning to Obama Democratic Party 2, and whose ultimate choice to stop their nation's warmongers rested upon the most anti-war president the United States has ever known, Donald Trump. But had these scientists warning him? As hawkish politicians know, embracing wars can bring enviable political advantages. Support for military interventions will bring fawning writings by defense intellectuals from think tanks and organizations generously funded by the military-industrial complex. Campaign contributions will flow like water from defense and national security contractors. If you are particularly skillful and influential, a sympathetic intelligence community may even step up and surveil your political opponents. True. And there's a picture of President. Peace is the prize, President Donald Trump. Amen. Peace is the prize. The world may not deserve it. The second Trump is pretty well proof. I mean, a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven. And the second seal, I should say, not Trump, but seal. The second seal is proof that God doesn't consider that the earth deserves this, right? As predicted by these American political scientists, this report continues, President Trump's quest for global peace has indeed incurred the wrath of his nation's deep state war party. And that yesterday saw former CIA analyst and now CNN commentator Philip Mudd calling for the shadow government to take Trump down. And who was quickly followed by top Democratic Party activist Scott Dworkin, likewise calling for the removal of Trump and Vice President Mike Pence from office and for defeated 2016 Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton to take over. Yeah, that could certainly put us in a war. Yeah, quickly. And that wouldn't, I don't think that would ever happen legally by vote or anything like that, because people are pretty wised up to Hillary. You know, I don't think that would ever legally happen, but who knows what shenanigans could bring if we weren't praying, right? These American elites at war with President Trump, this report details, are now seeing their battlefield spilling over to foreign lands. And that is due to Special Counsel Mueller and U.S. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein attacking their own head of the executive branch with the idea of influencing Trump's actions on the world stage. With their being warned that the war they're waging and that Trump is responding to is going to cause collateral damage. With it further being noted that these subversive actions by Trump's subordinates to their superior, attempting to sway foreign policy and overtly seeking to influence a political outcome, the norms so many are concerned about Trump violating, are instead being grossly violated by Mueller and by Rosenstein and the media too. Deep state war, right? Being under constant siege by deep state elements within his own government and being given the intelligence documents by President Putin proving that former CIA director John Brennan was a Soviet communist spy. This report concludes it was no wonder that President Trump, during yesterday's press conference, refused to bow down and pledge fealty to this nation's spy agencies attacking him, and that all too predictably caused the entire U.S. mainstream propaganda media establishment to lose their collective minds. Yes, and they screamed loud and clear, and the president kind of soothed their ruffled feathers just a little bit. But, he goes on to say, but all of whom, while in their fits of rage, failed to note the critical significance of President Putin invoking the treaty with Russia on mutual legal assistance in criminal matters, signed between the United States and the Russian Federation on the 17th of June, 1999. That is the law of the land in both the United States and Russia, and controlled solely by these nations' presidents, and upon whose likewise invocation by President Trump will without a doubt finally hold Hillary Clinton accountable for her theft from Russia of over $400 million that was aided by U.S. intelligence agencies, as well as exposing to the American people the full and sordid truthful details of the witch hunt against Trump, which final outcome of Putin gravely reminded the United States of what their own past history is in these types of political wars, by his grimly stating, "First of all of us have plenty of political rivals. I'm sure President Trump has plenty of political rivals. But haven't presidents been killed in the United States? Have you forgotten about that? Was President Kennedy killed in Russia or in the United States? Or Dr. Martin Luther King?" So what he's saying is, look, these people are saying, we're the problem. They're the ones that are killing your presidents. But that Trump, in facing his enemies down, seems more willing to fight and win. Yes, and the Lord gave him a backbone to do just that, and we're so thankful. He would have been gone a long time ago if it wasn't for the Lord. We have to give all credit to the Lord. And here's a picture of Trump with the wind blowing, and it says, "The deep state whispered to President Trump, 'You cannot withstand the storm.' The president whispered back, 'I am the storm.'" Well, yeah. Okay, Father, Lord, we want to give all credit to you. You are the one that is doing this. No man could have done this whatsoever. And we thank you for the victory that you have given unto us. And we ask that you continue to give President Trump this backbone and all the people that are working with him, and that you have such a large number of people working to take these criminals out that they can't kill them all. And Father, we ask, Lord, this would be a wonderful beginning of the tribulation. As we know, you've taught us that what's happened before is what's going to happen again. Even though there's going to be many judgments, acts of God judgment, it's better for us to go into the tribulation for the first 3.5 years, which we deem to be relatively peaceful in regards of the persecution, like it was with Jesus in his 3.5 years. Whereas the following 40 years, which is also the number of tribulation, was the beast making war against the saints, just like the second 3.5 years in Revelation 13 was the beast making war against the saints. So we need that 3.5 years to do what Jesus did, Jesus as the man-child did. We need that 3.5 years of, let me say, call it relative peace, if you'll let me say that. relative peace, like it was in Jesus' ministry. Relative peace. Not that the natural calamities aren't going to happen and judgments happen all over the world, but the persecution against the saints hasn't begun in that period of time. Except in a very small way, like John the Baptist. Okay, so we need that 3.5 years of relative peace. There's no way this would happen if the same bunch of criminals that ran this government were able to continue it. Lord, you are preparing us to go into the tribulation for the first 3.5 years so that the church may be raised up by the reformers. And by the reformers, I'm talking about the man-child ministry and the raising up of the witnesses and so on. And the raising up of the fivefold ministry, which the church has totally departed from, etc., etc. All these things have to come back together in order to give the people the education to withstand that second 3.5 years of great tribulation, in which many are going to have enough fortitude to either be martyrs or whatever, you know. So, Lord, we see this as an important step. We thank you for what you're doing in this regard. We thank you that you're making an atmosphere whereby the saints may be raised up. And also there will come disrespect for the apostate leadership, much like in Jesus' situation. They came to disrespect their leadership and to go, that is the elect, and to go and follow the man-child into the wilderness. This all has to come to pass. It is a work of God. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And you've been putting in your saints words to pray about. We pray about these words every morning that you give us. We put our faith together. We pray about these things. And we believe totally. We have seen the effects of our prayers. And we believe totally that you're answering prayers, Lord, and bringing about this change in preparation for the tribulation period. But there's a Red Sea at the beginning of the tribulation period. And if not, they would have followed God's people right on into the wilderness and continued doing what they were doing before. But there is going to be a Red Sea in the deep state and a Red Sea in the criminals of the faction on both sides, in the government and in the church. There is going to be a Red Sea for these folks. And that is because these people can't be chased into the wilderness. And also monies that have been collected by all these criminals for years are going to be channeled into the hands of your people, Lord, as a provision in the wilderness. And we thank you for that too. And keep on praying, saints. The Lord is... He's hearing your prayers. Keep on praying. Don't give up. Spend time every day putting your trust in the Lord. Calling upon Him. Crying out to Him. Bring down these factions. Pray for the Lord to bring down these factions in the government and in the church. This is a worldwide thing that's going on in both. In both. So, Father, we ask, Lord, that you encourage your people to pray and to pray without ceasing and to not only pray, but pray believing they have received, because authority and power has been given to your people by your hand, Lord. And we've seen great success. We're going to see greater success. The things that must turn the world, the people of the world, towards God have to happen. We can't pray them away. The judgments that's coming to take down the faction in both the government and in the church, we can't pray that away. I asked specifically that question, Lord. Can you Can we pray this down? It can't be prayed down. It can be lessened for the elect, but it can't be prayed down. It has to come. Let favor be showed to the wicked. They will not learn righteousness, but will deal wrongfully in the land of the living. Listen, they will continue. There must be a chastening. There must be a stopping of this. So, Father, yes, we do pray for that, that you will put a stop to it. Your word has told us over and over that this visitation of yours, which they don't understand at all. They didn't understand it when Jesus came the first time. They didn't understand it, that that's going to happen again. And also that the Lord is going to come for his people at the end of the tribulation period, and they've most of them been bought this line about you're not going through any trouble or any tribulation. Well, that has to be removed so that people know there and be motivated to learn to fight the good fight of the faith and to lay hold on life eternal. Lord, we ask you for that in the name of Jesus, that you would motivate your people. Motivate your people to pray. Motivate your people to believe. Motivate your people to see the necessity of the things that you say. Everything that is predicted in the book of Revelation is going to come to pass. And so there's some people that they think that this is going to be peace and prosperity here on out, you know, and that the crazy left won't get back in there. Listen, that is not going to happen. It can't happen. The crazy left is the very people that are always used to destroy and to bring to the cross God's people. And let me say this, even though the bride has gone through these tribulations and been matured and full of faith and holiness, the church has not. The church has not. The church, God's got the same method that he used for the bride, waiting for the church in the tribulation. There will be persecution. There will be these things. But you know, persecution and crucifixion doesn't do people any good unless they understand what the purpose of it is. How can two walk together except they be agreed? We must, during the training period of the first 3.5 years, the people must learn how to stand and how it is God's purpose to crucify their old selfish, backward life. They must learn that. And so these times must come. They must come. They will come. And it will be a good thing because God works all things together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So it's a good thing. Everything that God does is good. As Job said, shall we receive good at the hand of God and not evil? And in all this, Job sinned not with his lips, nor charged God foolishly. Right. And even what Job went through, he afterward prospered greatly, learned some, lost some self-righteousness. Everything that he went through was for his good. And Lord, so it will be with your church. And they need leaders to show them what is actually going on. And you have already trained them. You've already trained these people. All they lack is a great anointing to go forth with power and signs and wonders to confirm the word spoken. You've already trained them. And the anointing is going to bring forth wondrous prophetic gifts, gifts of healings and miracles and signs and wonders and so on. And people are going to pay attention because they've been lied to that all this passed away with the apostles. They're going to pay attention, especially in these times when people are going to be so needy of miracles and provisions. There will be some religious folks who will never depart from the Pharisees and Sadducees. That's the way it normally is. That was their test. They failed to follow the Lord, and they're going to be deemed not to be Christians at all. So there are many, many fakes among the people of God. That's why all these tests are coming, in order to weed out those that cause stumbling and those that cause offense, right? God is weeding them out. They have proven who they are in the past, and they're proving who they are now. So we thank you, Father. You are merciful. You do give people chances, but not too many. Amen. Well, saints, like I said, keep on praying. Keep on believing God. Keep on believing for miracles. Keep on keeping on. Keep on praying for us. We're getting our site back up that the criminals took down. And that's okay, because we're supposed to go through a born-again experience here, a death and a resurrection here for the man-child and his ministry. This is proof of where we are now. And it's proof of who these people are. So, thank God. Thank God. You see how close we are to the end here? Remember, the death and resurrection of the man-child is the catching up to the throne at the beginning of the tribulation period. So here we are. We can see we're coming to an end. So many people get discouraged after a while. They keep hearing these things. But if you didn't hear them ahead of time, how would you be prepared? And when in your time it hasn't happened, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. That's crazy. People that say that, they think they're God. It's going to happen in God's time. We're watching the signs as we go along. We're watching the signs happen. And now we're getting very close. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy. The devil's got all kinds of tricks to lead people astray, Lord. And we just ask you to encourage them to keep on keeping on. Keep on believing in the Lord. Keep on putting their trust in Him. Enter into the secret place of the Most High. We've got a Passover coming. Remember, the Passover happened just before the tribulation. What is the Passover? Well, it's the sacrifice of the man-child ministry. Remember the lamb. It is the destruction of Pharaoh's army chasing them. It is, by the way, that is both political and religious, you know. And it is the great victory that God's people have in being baptized in the Red Sea and coming up on the other side filled with the Holy Spirit in type and in shadow, because there's an outpouring of the, there is the baptism of the cloud and the baptism of the sea there, right? So here we go. We're getting there. It's coming. There's a great revival coming. Lots of people are going to be baptized. Lots of people are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. At the same time, Pharaoh and his legions are going down. Babylon and its legions are going down. And let me say, everybody that is not for Jesus is against Jesus. And there are a lot of people that call themselves Christians that are a part of the beast. They're not a part of the kingdom of God. Tell by their actions that they're not. They do not belong to the Lord. So, they have to come down at the Red Sea too. But this is a baptism. You know what happens in a baptism. The old man is destroyed. The new man comes to life. And suddenly, they're coming up out of the water and they're getting baptized in the cloud. The outpouring of Joel to restore all things that have been stolen to them. Joel chapter 2. Great things are coming. Just if you get to where you can read the signs and you can see the symbology and the symbolism, I mean, you can see we're there. We're almost there. Praise the Lord, saints. Keep on praying. Pray for us for wisdom, and thank you so much for being patient, and thank you for your support, your blessings, and when we get things back together, it's going to be greater than it ever was. There's no doubt in my mind. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the victory, Lord. The wicked are hindering still all every way that they can. And we know about it. That's what they don't know, is we know about what they're doing. It's totally against the law, but that doesn't bother them. They're criminals. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for being with us and blessing us. And we put our trust in you. You are our refuge. You are our Savior. You are our deliverer. And the wicked don't know who they're fighting against. Thank you so much, Lord. Hallelujah. All right, saints. Thank you for being with me. This is the most political I've been in a long, long time here. So please forgive that. I just wanted to point out to you, hey, we're headed towards the Red Sea. We can see the signs all around us. Amen. God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.